"Are these the ones you used?" Wyatt asked, showing him the 3 feet sacks.
"Yes, sir."
"Albert, tell the court what happened when the defendant set the match to the gasoline that he'd poured over the body."
"A big blaze went up, down a ditch and cleared to the tops of them trees. Me and Robert Lee run for cover."
"What did Mr. Wallace do?"
"He just stood there beside a tree and watched it burn."
Albert's words stunned the courtroom. Robert Lee's description of the cremation head on first hearing seemed almost unbelievable. Confirmation of the grotesque act came with Albert's quiet words, and a perceptible shudder ran through the crowded courtroom. The silence and the shudder did not disturb John Wallace. Bent over the defense table, he did not look up, but continued writing on the yellow legal sheets that had claimed his attention since the trial began. The next witness was Major Irvin, the aged Meriwether County Justice of the Peace, who Mrs. Matthews claimed had signed the warrant authorizing the transfer of Turner from the Carrollton Jail to the Meriwether County Jail during the early morning hours of April 19th. Questioned by Solicitor Wyatt about his visual disability, Major Irvin said,
"Yes, sir, I do have a disability, eyes are atrophied."
In explaining this, he said he was unable to read and had to depend upon someone else to tell him what he was signing. "You have no way of knowing what you are signing unless you are told?"
"That's true,"
the old man admitted. Solicitor Wyatt dismissed the witness and called Charles Hickson, an attendant at a service station in Greenville. On Friday, April 23rd, the day of Wallace's and Seville's arrest, Herring Seville had brought his green 1947 Ford to the service station to be cleaned. The floor mat, door panels, and rear seat cover were heavily stained with blood.
"What instructions were you given?" Solicitor Wyatt asked Hickson. "Mr. Seville said he wanted his car cleaned out good because he had to go to Noonan that morning.
So he brought it to a public service station to have it done?" The solicitor's tone was an indictment of Seville's arrogance.
"Yes, sir."
The last witness before the law enforcement officers would begin to testify was old Mr. Turner. Weak and still trembling, he took the oath and identified the photograph shown him as that of his son William.
"Did you know, Mr. Turner, that William was using his brother's name?"
"No, sir, I didn't."
"Did you know he had stolen his brother's 4F card?"
Mr. Turner, an anguished father who knew that his boy had gone bad, defended him as best he could.
"No, sir, I didn't rightly know he took it. William trained good in the Army. They even gave him a medal for expert marksman."
"Why did he take his brother's 4F draft card?"
"I don't know,"
Mr. Turner said, shaking his head.
"William came home from the Army one day and left the next. After that, Wilson, that's my son whose mind ain't good, couldn't find his 4F card no more. We couldn't figure what went with it, but we never no time figured William took it."
"This caused a name mix-up," Solicitor Wyatt said. "And it was reported that Wilson Turner had been killed."
Yes, sir, but that wasn't right. William is the one who's dead. Wilson's here with me, standing right yonder."
Mr. Turner pointed a gnarled old finger toward the witness room door where Wilson stood listening. When the attention of the courtroom was directed toward him, Wilson self-consciously dropped his eyes and blushed, understanding only that he'd been singled out.
"That will be all for this witness," Solicitor Wyatt told Judge Boykin.
Seeing his father's feeble efforts to get down from the witness chair, Wilson came over, put his arm around his father's shoulders, and led the rickety old man away. The last of the disclosures by the state's witnesses had been made. The prosecution was now ready to verify their testimony with material evidence collected by the law enforcement officers for state exhibits.
"The state calls Sheriff A. Lamar Potts to the stand," Solicitor Wyatt said,
responding to questions in a calm, even voice. Sheriff Potts described the pit where the burning had taken place. Henson objected to everything, including designating it as the pit instead of a pit.